Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103,
Lincoln 102. Responding 241 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437, Bravo, for your dignitary detail. 3K911, I'm at Pivot 400 lower level near Carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger, onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Bravo.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue jeans, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Good evening and welcome to another live edition of the Private Office Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a private security and law enforcement association, growing association, I might add, with members in 28 countries and across the U.S. of A. And we are glad to be live again with you on this Monday. I almost said Wednesday for some reason. Not sure why. I guess I'm rushing the week. Monday evening on the 1st of August. Can you believe it? The 1st of August. I was talking to some friends of mine today, and they've got some young children, and believe it or not, they're telling me that they can't wait another 12 days. I said, why? Are you going on vacation? And they laughed. And they said, yeah, sort of. Our kids are going back to school. I spoke with another friend of mine yesterday, and their children already went back to school last week. What is it with going back to school so early in the year? I remember as a child, I'm sure it was past Labor Day before we went back to school from our summer vacation. I don't know. I guess it's kind of getting kids in tune for the year-round thing. You know, a lot of school systems are talking about year-round school, although their budgets can't even afford the teachers they have. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But anyways, welcome. We've got a big show for you tonight. We've got a lot of activity going on here at Private Officer International. We've got a great amount of things that we need to be talking to you about. I do want to remind you right at the top of the show that if you are calling in or listening because of our subject matter, which we will be talking tonight about child abuse, reacting, recognizing, and responding, we will get with that shortly. In fact, what we normally do when we have hot topics with a lot of interest from outside folks who are not members or associated with law enforcement or security is we normally try to get to the training aspect in the initial phase of our radio program. We have two parts to our radio program, and tonight we're going to twist it kind of backwards and bring the training up front and the rest of our program to the second half. So if you're here to listen to the training aspect, welcome. If you're a first-time listener, definitely we're glad that you're here. And we will be getting to our topic of the evening here shortly. But in the meantime, we want to caution and address the heat situation here in the South, all across the southern part of the U.S., as well as elsewhere. We have been in the triple digits frequently over the last month or so, and a lot of people across the U.S. have died because of heat stroke or exhaustion. And if you are working in law enforcement, public safety, or private security, I do want to kind of caution you and, again, advise you to make sure that you hydrate frequently, that you stay in the shade as much as possible or air conditioning, and that if you feel faint, nauseous, lightheaded, or dizzy, that you immediately seek treatment. It's nothing to play with, nothing to fool with. Heat exhaustion can cause stroke, and, you know, you can die, basically, bottom line. So definitely hydrate, stay cool, stay in the shade as much as possible, and take care of yourself, please. All right, we've got a great show lined up for tonight, and we've got a lot of great shows in the upcoming week. In fact, next week we have a great topic. We will be talking about armed and dangerous, the multiplying effect of armed confrontations in recent years are on the steady rise, steady increase, armed felons and suspects, shoplifters and suspicious persons armed with handguns, knives, and even, you know, all sorts of weapons. And we will be talking with several security personnel who recently have been involved in armed confrontations, one at a bowling alley, one at a nightclub, and one at a movie theater. We'll also be talking with some in the law enforcement profession, why this seems to be, you know, continuing, why it's on the rise, and obviously as private security continue to become first responders, and they are the first ones on the scene, they are much more proactive today than 20, 30, even 10 years ago, armed confrontations are going to continue. The following week, on the 15th of August, we have a fantastic, exciting show prepared, and I just can't wait for 2 weeks from today. We will be talking to self-contained HOAs. Those are homeowner associations. Basically, in many situations, they are gated communities. We have with us in 2 weeks from tonight a guest from a self-contained property with more than 15,000 residents. 15,000. You know, that's larger than a lot of cities and towns in the U.S. 15,000. They have a self-contained police agency, rescue squad, and volunteer fire department. We'll be talking to another HOA self-contained property in Virginia that also has a state-recognized police agency and their own rescue squad there on the property. We'll also talk on the other end of the spectrum to a volunteer, all-volunteer security staff in a homeowners association, gated community, 55 and over, in the Florida area. And we've got a very exciting lineup. It's, you know, to most people don't realize how many large gated communities there are across the country. There are many gated communities that have 15, 20, even 30,000 residents, a number of retail shops, restaurants, dry cleaners, gas stations, all self-contained right there on their property. They have schools. They have everything that you could possibly want. In fact, talking with someone a few weeks ago who develops these type of sites, he told me that this is the end thing. Many people are looking for convenience. They're looking for their job, their home, and their play area to be all self-contained on one location. It cuts down on the commute. It cuts down on the expense of gas. It helps with having everyone together quick, you know, to get to the house, to get to the work. It makes life a lot more easier, convenient, and a lot less stressful. So this is pretty typical. You're going to see a lot more of self-contained properties. And so I'm really looking forward to speaking with these folks about how they provide public safety on their property. That's in 2 weeks from tonight. On August 22nd, we have another great show. Many people do not realize that some security officers in certain states have police authority. We're not talking about private citizen arrest. We're not talking about, you know, the average Joe private person arresting you. No. We're talking about statutory arrest authority or commission by the police or sheriff's department authority. States like Virginia, Maryland, Missouri, Washington, D.C., among others. South Carolina is another one. They have special police authority on the property that they are working, and they can arrest you. In fact, in the state of Virginia, when a private security officer places you under arrest, they actually have the authority to transport you to the jail to get the warrant for you. And so many people are not aware of this, and we're going to be talking with several special police officers from Missouri, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. So that's going to be a very interesting show. On the 29th of August, we will be having a great show. We'll be talking with a sexual assault investigator, a rape investigator from a police department, as well as a sexual assault counselor. We'll be talking about responding, recognizing, and reacting to sexual assaults, whether it be a juvenile or an adult, what to do and what not to do. On the 5th of September, what a lineup, huh? What a lineup we have. On the 5th of September, we will be talking about responding and initiating searches for missing persons. What a great show. And tonight, of course, we are talking about a very touchy, a very important, a very sad subject in our training segment. We are talking about child abuse and neglect. Can you recognize it? If you do recognize it, what to do about it, how to respond, how to react. Tonight, we have a lot of information on what is and is not child abuse and neglect. Part two will be Wednesday night. We'll be talking with a law enforcement officer on what to do on site and what not to do. So it is a very touchy subject, and there's, you know, no two ways about it. Many people, unfortunately, have been victims of child abuse, sexual abuse. There are many categories. Actually, there are four categories of child abuse. Many people do not realize. They don't recognize. They don't understand. And that's what this show is going to be all about. While we're on the program tonight, or if you're listening by podcast on demand later on, if you're listening to us on iTunes tomorrow, next week, or next month, and you have a comment or a question, be sure to send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. That's radio@privateofficer.com. And we will be glad to address it on the air or privately, whichever you would prefer. I'd also like to remind you, as I always do on every program, I know, it gets to be old hat, kind of boring after a while, but it is important. It really is. You can follow us any time of the day or night, around the clock, 24/7, 365, on the Internet. We actually have a pretty large and constantly growing Internet footprint, as they say. You can follow us on our main website at www.privateofficer.com. You can, from there, link on to everything that we have going on. You can link on to our forums. You can link on to our news site. You can link onto our chapters page division. You can also join us on Twitter, Facebook, so on and so forth. Right there from our main website, www.privateofficer.com. Now, a lot of folks are not aware that we have a very well-established forum. It's actually our online internet gathering spot, as well as network and information exchange spot, and you can get to that from our main website at privateofficer.com, or you can go to www.privateofficer.ning.com. We have hundreds and hundreds of members from all around the world. We have hundreds of videos, pictures. You know, it's kind of like a Facebook. In fact, one of our members said a couple months ago, you know, he likes it better than Facebook because it's all about security and law enforcement. And it is a Facebook-type forum for people in private security and law enforcement. So join us there. Even if you're not in private security or law enforcement, you can still become part of our community and, you know, you might learn a few things and see things in a different light. Well, as I was saying earlier, we do have a very busy week going on. We do stay very, very busy, and we're always on the road with seminars and meetings and conferences and so forth. This week, I do want to go over the events that's happening that you can be involved in. It is a very busy week. Tonight, of course, we have our weekly Private Officer Talk Radio broadcasting live from our studio. And our studio can be any place. You know, oftentimes when I'm on the road like I am today, we broadcast live from wherever we are, whether it be in D.C. or California, Texas, the beach, the mountains, or wherever. Tonight, we are in the Capitol, and we have a seminar for the next few days, and so it's been a very busy weekend, and I've got several weeks ahead of us that's nonstop. But for you, tomorrow night, Tuesday, 7 p.m., Daylight Savings Time, we have a conference call. It is on the Officer Down Response Team. The ODRTs is something that we've established or are establishing across the country to assist with benevolent services for private security personnel who are injured or killed in the line of duty. We are setting up teams in every city throughout the country, and in some areas, multiple teams will be established. If you'd like more information, you can join us on the call. Also, tomorrow night at 8 p.m., we have a board meeting. If you are a board member, you know that you're scheduled to call in to the conference call at 8 p.m. Again, that's daylight savings time. As one of our members pointed out today, I think we had recently announced it was Eastern time, but of course, that's what we meant. It was daylight savings time. It's, you know, 7 p.m. here and 6 p.m. someplace else, 5 p.m. and so forth. We actually have members calling in from Australia, Brazil, China, Spain, and a number of other countries. So for them, it's morning, noon, you know, evening, in the wee hours. So, but for us on the East Coast, it is daylight savings time. On Wednesday at 3 p.m., again, daylight savings time, we have the LP, Loss Prevention Zone radio program, right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Also on Wednesday, we have the Part 2, Child Neglect and Abuse, 7:30 p.m., Reacting and Responding. We will do a wrap-up of how to react and how to respond when you recognize child abuse or child neglect. On Thursday at 8 p.m., daylight savings time, 8 p.m., we have another conference call on the Officer Down Response Team for those who could not make it on Tuesday. And on Saturday, the 6th of this month, we have a training seminar that is free and open to all private security and public safety officers in Greenville, South Carolina. If you'd like more information, send us an email. Whew, like I said, very busy week this week, and a lot of busy weeks coming up in the months ahead as we continue to roll forward. I can't believe that we are almost three-quarters of the way through 2011. I just cannot believe it, but we are. So we do have many busy weeks coming up. We've got a lot going on. It's very, very exciting now for our association, for you as a member, you as an associate, a friend. We've got so much going on. And in fact, one of our members this week commented to the operations manager that we have too much going on. Too much. He said he cannot keep up with it between his work schedule, his family life, other commitments. He just can't keep up with it. Do we have too much going on? I don't think so. I don't think so. It's good to be busy. It's good to have a lot going on. What I told someone who made that comment was, it's kind of like being at church. You know, you have to kind of pick what's good for you. So don't be involved in everything. We understand. But pick one or two things that you're interested in. You know, I told a couple of our staff members over the weekend that I have a few other things on the drawing board that I want to bring out, and hopefully it's not too much for everyone because we need your participation. Okay, very quickly, just got an email wanting more information, and I was going to bring this up anyways here momentarily, but our Officer Down Response Team conference calls on Tuesday and Thursday. This is the number to call. Area code 712-432-0800. Did everybody get that? You want to try it one more time? Okay, one more time. Area code 712-432-0800. Now you will be asked for a PIN number, and that PIN number is 843-081. Again, the PIN number for the conference call on Tuesday and Thursday, 843-081. And we're looking forward to seeing you Tuesday, tomorrow, August the 2nd, and Thursday the 4th for this very important topic. We will be talking more about the initiation of the team, how we're going to screen applicants, what the responsibilities are, so on and so forth. So look forward to having you on those two calls coming up. We do have a couple of Officer Down reports to tell you about here. Speaking about Officer Down, we were notified earlier today that Panama City, Florida, a security officer was found dead in a marina. Law enforcement are not sure what happened. They don't know the cause. They don't know if this was accidental. They don't know if he's had a heart attack. They don't know if he was shot. They're not releasing the person's name or any other information. It is under investigation. As soon as we find out, you will know. Also, over the weekend, we had a report of a security officer killed by gunfire in Tampa and in Rockford, Illinois. We are trying to get more information on those two officer deaths. We will bring you an update as soon as we find out. We have calls in right now in both locations to get more information. According to the press in Tampa, they have made an arrest. In Rockford, Illinois, we have no information other than someone was killed at a nightclub. In New York City, an off-duty security officer, former law enforcement officer, NYPD officer, was killed. As he walked away from a confrontation, he was shot in the back. The 28-year-old succumbed to his injuries on scene. No word as to whether or not NYPD has any suspects in that case, but we will let you know as soon as we find out. A lot of injuries and assaults going on. A lot of, you know, it's almost like the gates of violence against security and public safety and law enforcement have opened up. If you follow ODMP, the Officer Down Memorial page for law enforcement, which I highly recommend that you do on a daily or semi-daily basis, you will see that, unfortunately, right now, we have about 105 police officers killed in the line of duty. We have about 55 security officers with an estimated of 75 killed in the line of duty. And we say estimated at 75 because many are not reported through the media or they are misidentified as just an employee of a business when, in fact, they were in a security position. So as you can see, we have a lot of violence against people in uniform because people don't care anymore. They don't care about authority. They don't care about the law. They don't care about life. They just don't care. You're listening to the Private Officer Talk Radio Network on this Monday, August the 1st. We need your support. Right now, we have six major capital projects in the works, and they all need to be funded. And rather than take out a loan or ask for donations, it's a lot simpler to fund it and finance it through memberships. We are a membership-based organization. Right now, memberships are very reasonable. If you believe in our mission, then all that we ask is that you support us through your membership or donations and tell others about Private Officer International as well. Right now, we need to raise about $150,000 to fund a permanent officer memorial wall in Richmond, Virginia. We also need to raise some funds for our Vest for Life program as we begin to issue vests to high-risk security officers working in high-risk areas. We're also expanding our offices, staff, and services. We have, of course, purchased a university, and we're in the process of getting accredited, which is a great benefit to you as a member or to a security officer, public safety officer, or law enforcement officer, because we will be offering accredited college degrees at about 30% off from all others. So this is actually a huge benefit to you. We will be right back after this message.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner. Who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I don't need to do this. I want her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, when we went to dinner, I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stack.
Buzz driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and the state.
Right, we are back live with you on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. Thank you for joining us tonight. As I said in the very beginning of our program, we normally have a two-part program here on nights when we are talking about important training subjects where we have a lot of listeners who are not normally here. We kind of invert our segments, and we bring our training up in the first half of our show, which is what we're doing tonight. So without really any more hesitation, we're going to go on and talk about the subject of tonight, and then in our part two, we'll do the wrap-up on Wednesday. But tonight, we're talking about a very serious, a very emotional subject. And this is, I want to warn you tonight that this content may be graphic. It may be something that you may not want to listen to with a child. And personally, I find it upsetting. But it is nonetheless a very important topic, and one that those of us who work in law enforcement, public safety, and private security, we need to be aware of, because it is a situation that is growing every day. Elder abuse, child abuse, and animal abuse, I will tell you personally, they are three things that I cannot personally stomach, because these people and animals cannot protect themselves. They have no way to escape it. They have no way to leave their situation. They are captive victims, and they need a voice. They need someone on their side. And the more that we can get people to recognize what child neglect and child abuse is, the more advocates we will have in the field. Tonight's training is about more than child abuse. It is a lesson in the value of life. Gunfire, stabbings, killings, everywhere we go, gangs fighting over simple disagreements, a look the wrong way, an evil eye, mugging, the least little bit, the least little thing can get a person killed in a split second. Why? Why? Life has been devalued in this world today and meaningless to thousands. We ask, is it because of the violence on TV? Is it because of violence in the video games? Is it the environment that many people grow up in? Is it because of bad wiring in the person's head? Life has become worthless. Less than pocket change in today's society. It's worth nothing. And so many times, rather than everyone cherishing life, loving a newborn, holding a child who needs our love and nurturing, we oftentimes give it no second thought as to how we treat them, many times worse than an animal, because life has been devalued. Child abuse in the United States and around the world is a serious, rampant, violent crime that often goes unreported, unnoticed, and unpunished. What is child abuse? What is child neglect? Do we even know? Do we really have a description? Are we clear? How much disciplining of a child is too much? Is sending a child to bed without a dinner as punishment, is that neglect? Is that abuse? Using our hand to whip a child or belt, is that child abuse? Yelling and telling the child how stupid they are for doing that, is that child abuse? Well, in part one, tonight we're going to be talking about recognizing and knowing what is and what is not child abuse or neglect. And on Wednesday, in the wrap-up, we will be talking about reacting and responding to these offenses. Maybe it's just people need to be educated. Maybe it's people don't realize what they're doing. Maybe it's just, you know, some people blame it on their parents. Down the line of generations, my dad always beat me with the belt. My mother always punched me in the mouth. My grandma put soap in my mouth when I said a word that I wasn't supposed to. Have we learned this from our moms, our dads, our grandparents, our uncles and aunts, and down the line? Is this something that we've inherited? Do we really know the difference between good and bad discipline? Do we understand? Do we recognize? Do we really get it? When we are physically, mentally, emotionally abusing our child or someone else's, when we're in public, when we're on the job, do we really recognize what's happening right in front of our own very eyes? In 2009, over 5 million cases of child abuse and neglect were reported in the U.S. alone. Let me say that again. Over 5 million cases of child abuse and neglect were reported in 2009 in the U.S. alone. More than 7,000, divide that by 365 days in a year, 7,000 children die from abuse. Yeah, it's a problem. It's on the rise. We need to understand what it's all about. We need to recognize it when it's happening right in front of our own eyes. A number of years ago, a friend of mine, a country superstar, megastar, recorded this song. I want you to listen to the words.
Bearing the burden of a secret storm. Sometimes she wishes she was never born.
Tina helped to get this out into the public, out in front of people across the country and around the world, because she was someone that people recognized. And this song has so much information, tragic as it may be. Teachers recognize the abuse. Neighbors recognize the abuse. But no one wants to get involved. No one wants to speak up. No one wants to make the call. You see, growing up in the 50s and the 60s, like I did and many of you did, many of us, and I dare say all of us, suffered the wrath of punishment. If we spoke out of line, if we had issues of bad behavior at school, if we didn't do what our parents told us to do right away, they had no hesitation, no problem to take off their belt, to pull a switch from a tree, to grab a paddle, to slam you against the wall, to quickly change your attitude. They didn't care who was looking. They didn't care who knew and who didn't know, because you were their child. I remember my mother saying many a times, I brought you in this world. I'll take you out of this world. It was just that way. Maybe we knew as kids it was wrong, but back then, we didn't have a voice. It was how it was. There was no calling the police, no calling the social worker, no telling anyone because no one would listen. But things have changed. I have seen in my almost 55 years of life in this world, punishment of children increasingly getting out of hand, going from true punishment to abuse. In more than 50% of the cases that I have witnessed in my lifetime, both as a minister, as a law enforcement officer, as a paramedic, as someone who's out and about every day around the country, I see it at the mall, I see it at the church, I've seen it at school, I've seen it just walking down the sidewalk. Children being backhanded, slammed against the wall, kicked, punched, beaten. That is not discipline. That is abuse. Of the 5 million cases of reported child abuse and neglect in 2009, 32% was physical, 11% was sexual, 48% was just simple neglect, 9% they classified as psychological or other abuse or neglect. Can you imagine how many millions of children suffer every day, every year that go unreported? This is just what's reported. This is just what's been called in to DCS, to the police, to the authorities. We as private security, public safety, and law enforcement, teachers, firefighters, nurses, and just the general public have a chance right now to rescue, to intervene, to intercept, to make a difference. We're out and about every day in public places. We are where children are. We can make a difference in their lives starting right now if we so choose. It's up to us. Just like everything else, it all starts with you.
18-month-old is dead and his babysitter is in jail charged with reckless endangerment and risk of injury. Channel 3 Eyewitness News reporter Heather Hedges joins us live with the Mobile Newsroom in Hartford with that story. Heather.
Erica, baby Elijah Gaskew is pronounced brain dead around noon today here at Connecticut Children's Medical Center, but tonight he is still on life support as doctors prepare his body for organ donation, a difficult decision that the family made. We spoke with the family tonight and neighbors who say the woman who allegedly did this, 25-year-old Yelena Torres, appeared to be a trustworthy babysitter.
Very good with
jurors in the murder trial of a young Dayton, Ohio mother are being asked to contemplate a terrible thought. A baby put to death in a microwave oven. 28-year-old China Arnold is accused of the crime, and jurors have begun deliberating her fate. If she's convicted, she could face the death penalty. In Thursday's closing arguments, the prosecution said she killed her daughter after a fight with her boyfriend over whether he was the girl's biological father. But her defense attorney disagreed and said there's believable testimony that someone else killed the baby. Arnold is being tried for a second time after a judge declared a mistrial earlier this year. Throughout the ordeal, the woman's relatives have stood by her.
The truth will come out. Mr. Ryan's going to fight on our behalf, but we have God watching over us, and they can paint her to be whatever, but we know her.
Prosecutors say Arnold turned on the microwave and left it on for 2 minutes and the baby's DNA was found inside the appliance. A cellmate of Arnold's testified during the first trial. The young mother confessed to the crime. Jurors deliberately
have been filed against a Kentucky man accused of putting his infant son in an oven. The McCracken County Sheriff's Department got a call from an area hospital saying that a man had called asking what charges he'd face for doing it. The hospital then called authorities.
Actually, the first call was made to the Lourdes Hospital, to one of their hotlines, and the father made that call, and he was concerned about what his punishment would be, how much trouble he was in. That call was relayed to us. Had they been concerned about the child, they would have called the ambulance right away.
When police arrived at Larry Long's home, they found a five-week-old infant inside a cold oven with a door cracked. The child had been there for 2 hours. Long and his wife then told authorities they had been drinking. He was then arrested and charged with endangerment. He's currently held on $10,000 bond. Right now, the baby's mother has not been charged, but authorities say they continue to investigate. Brian Thomas, The Associated Press.
There is no value in life today. Listening to the horrific crimes that people commit against their own flesh and blood, against the child who is helpless, an infant who cannot defend themselves. We are living in a society today where life means nothing. People who are on drugs and alcohol, people who should never have had children. There's no shortage of stories. I could sit here and play soundbite after soundbite for you. I could read headline after headline. Google it yourself. Hundreds, thousands of cases will come up instantly. Everything from a little bit of child abuse to major assault to death in every part of this world, not just here in the U.S. It's not just here among the United States. It's everywhere. And as public safety officers, we have a chance to make a difference. Right now in the U.S., there are 3 million private security officers. We patrol apartments, hotels, hospitals, schools, recreational facilities, campgrounds. We are every place that kids are. We can easily stop abuse, prevent assaults, help a child in need, if only you could recognize it. If only you knew for sure what to be looking for, how to define child abuse, what makes it different than child discipline, what is true neglect. Do we really know? Do we understand? Child abuse and neglect come in many forms and is perpetrated by many different people, most of the time, people we trust the most. Parents, brothers and sisters, and other family relatives, daycare staff, babysitters and nannies, teachers, Sunday school people, ministers. Right now, there is a true epidemic of child abuse going on across the country. There is an alarming number of teacher and student sexual relationships happening in the United States. In every part of this country. Small towns, big cities, metropolitan areas, metropolises, country bumpkin churches, church schools, every type of imaginable education facility is experiencing a huge increase in rape, sexual assault, sexual molestation of children by teachers, principals, school resource and security officers, administrators. Every day in the headlines, our office monitors, as you may or may not know, more than 400 news media sources. We have hundreds and thousands of press releases, police news releases, news headlines coming into our office every day. And it is astounding. Even right now, in the midst of summer vacation, teachers are being arrested. Six teachers today alone for enticing minors to have sex with them. And it's not even school. We're in the summer months. Children are supposed to be having a good time, enjoying summer vacation, not being enticed by their teachers, by their instructors, by their coaches to have sex with them. Child abuse comes in four general categories. It's broken down into the sexual abuse, sexual assault, unwanted touching, psychological and emotional. You're fat. You're the ugliest kid I have ever seen. You're so stupid. I could put you through college, but you wouldn't pass. Well, Johnny gets straight A's. Why can't you get at least a B? Why don't you stop eating all the food in the house, you big fat pig? Sound familiar? And then there's neglect. Not meeting a child's basic needs of food, shelter, education, or medical attention. Now, I know that in this day and age, in this time that we're living in, when it's so hard to put food on the table, to pay the bills, to keep a roof over our head. I know today that there are more people struggling than ever to put enough food on the table for their children, to make sure the children have all of their basic needs. I know because I work in this industry that there are many families who are homeless, many children go to school hungry, having slept in cars, vacant buildings, homeless shelters. I know that there are good parents trying to do their best to meet their children's needs. And in those situations, that is not neglect. They are victims to their environment, victim to this economy, but there are plenty of help agencies, plenty of resources. And I hope that you, if you are listening and you are in need of some of these basic needs for your children and yourself, that you will reach out. But the four categories is neglect, physical abuse. You're so stupid. Get over here. I hate you. I hate you. That is not discipline. That is abuse. psychological and emotional abuse and sexual abuse. Everywhere that we look in this day and age, there's abuse of every type.
She is the one who had everyone talking this week in Central Florida, the woman who doused her daughter with a high-powered hose at a local car wash.
Yeah, this is our first good look at Nikki Ramirez. West 2's Todd Wilson shows us investigators think the mom's punishment rises to the level of child abuse.
A mother in handcuffs. This is Nikki Ramirez, 5 months pregnant, being led into a car on her way to the Orange County Jail. Ramirez is the car wash mom, the woman seen on this video that outraged so many and now led to criminal charges.
After looking at her statement, statements of the car wash manager, and looking at the video evidence, we feel that we have a child abuse case here, so we made an arrest.
The arrest is a dramatic turnaround. Just a day earlier, a nurse examined Ramirez's 2-year-old daughter and found no injuries, so DCF let her keep her child. Friday afternoon, deputies decide they wanted to question her again about the pressure washing punishment. Ramirez says it was to stop the little girl's temper tantrum.
We're talking about a felony crime. We want to be sure. We wanted to shore up statements. We returned to the car wash today and done some further examination of the pressure washer.
After that second round of questioning, deputies arrested her.
The DCF has left the child in with family.
There's a second woman in the video. Detectives say they consider her a witness and have not filed charges against her. In Orange County, Todd Wilson.
Now little Lisa's only 9 years old. She's trying to figure out why the world is so cold, why she's all alone and they never met her family. Mama's always gone and she never met her daddy. Part of her is missing and nobody will listen. Mama's on drugs, getting up in the kitchen, bringing home in at different hours of the night, starting with some laughs, usually ending in a fight. Sneaking in a room when her mama's knocked out, trying to have his way and little Lisa says out. She tries to resist but then all he does is beat her. Tries to tell her mom but her mama don't believe her. Lisa's stuck up in the world on her own, forced to think that hell is a place called home. Nothing else to do but get some clothes and pack. She says she's about to run away and never come back.
Run away, run away, run away, run
only 10 years old. She said he's trying to figure why the world is so cold, why she's not pretty and nobody seems to like her. Alcoholic stepdad always want to strike her, yells and abuses, leaves her with some bruises. She just asks questions, she's making up excuses, bleeding on the inside, crying on the eyes. There's only one girl really knows what she's about. Her name is Little Stacy and they become friends, promise that they'll always be tight till the end, until one day Little Stacy gets shot. A drive-by bullet went straight up on a block. Now Nicole's stuck up in the world on her own, forced to think that hell is a place called home. Nothing else to do but get her clothes and pack. She says she's about to run away and never come back.
Child abuse knows no economic boundaries. It knows no class. It comes in every type of family imaginable. I have seen the rich and the poor abuse their children. I have arrested the well-to-do and the down and out for child abuse. It doesn't matter in this day and age if they come from a small city or a big city. Children are prone to abuse. It's a fact of life. Just today, one of the news headlines that came across our news wire was in Clarksville, Tennessee. A camp counselor, a trusted camp counselor, has been accused of sexually abusing children at a Baptist church youth camp. The Department of Children's Services and law enforcement are investigating several incidents where the counselor simulated sexual acts on an 11-year-old. Another headline today that came across our news wire was a nanny in Ohio arrested for sexually abusing a 3-year-old. Just recently, in the national headlines, a very high-profile case, Casey Anthony. I know you recognize the name. I know it doesn't matter if you never watch the news. It doesn't matter if you don't read the newspaper. I know that most of you will know and recognize the name. Arrested for killing her own daughter, Kaylee. Several years ago in Florida, the young girl disappeared. The mother, unable to give police the facts, lied to the police. The body of little Kaylee was found in the woods. And through a trial of her peers, recently found innocent, although a recent poll, 83% of people thought she was guilty. This weekend, I read another tragic situation where an aunt and an uncle and a niece was arrested for the death of a young girl that they had put into a box as punishment, and she died, suffocated. We have to understand, we have to realize, we can't any longer overlook what is and what is not neglect and abuse. Under the law, child abuse is any harm done to a child by a person responsible for the care of that child. It doesn't matter if it's at the daycare, at home, at the church, at the camp, at the school, it doesn't matter. The law does vary from state to state. So depending on where you work, depending on where you live, the statute, the language of the statute is going to be different. It's important that you read up on the statutes in your state. Recognize what could be construed as abuse, what could be construed as child neglect, because it may be different from my state to your state. As private security, public safety, and law enforcement, medical providers, teachers, as John Doe citizens, we can make a difference. Recently, a woman in a restaurant spotted a young girl who was with a woman, a young girl and a woman eating. Hey, what's so unusual about that? A daughter and a mother having dinner, having lunch. What's the big deal? But this woman, this other patron, recognized some unusual traits of the young girl, recognized some unusual behavior of the young girl. The girl was scoffing down, eating everything in sight, starving. Now, kids do have, you know, big appetites these days. A friend of mine told me yesterday that they're eating them out of house and home. You know, same thing my parents say. But this restaurant patron thought it was odd that this young girl was so hungry and obviously in distress, like having a dog that you haven't fed in 2 days and put a little food down, and what happens? That dog sucks it up like a vacuum cleaner. Woof! It's gone. And this restaurant patron thought the same thing. Maybe this child had been without food for a number of days. Maybe this child had been neglected or abused. Maybe it was some form of punishment, and all of a sudden, now they're going out to eat. And rather than just sit there and enjoy her dinner, she decided to do something about it. She made some conversation with the mother, with the woman that was with this child, just some off-the-cuff, casual conversation. And through it, through that casual conversation, what she gathered, what she suspected, to her, seemed like child abuse, a good possibility. So rather than ignore it, rather than just brush it off, rather than just go enjoy her meal with her husband, she called police. And sure enough, this girl had been locked up in a dungeon-type environment for almost a week as punishment for wetting the bed. The girl was six, seven years old. And her mother said, if you want to act like an animal, if you want to pee in your bed like an animal, like a dog peeing on the floor, I'll teach you a lesson. No food, no light, no nothing. If you'll take just a few seconds, if you'll just really see what you're looking at, we can make a difference. As officers, we are patrolling constantly. We are communicating constantly. We are intertwining all the time with people everywhere in every type of environment. Look and see. What is child abuse? What is child abuse? What do you think it is? Child abuse can be verbal abuse. You no good, fat, you low down scumbum. That is abuse. Teasing a child unnecessarily. Showing the child pornography. Talking sexually or taking sexual pictures. Sexually touching the child or forcing that child to sexually touch you is a form of abuse. Breaking their self-confidence. Hitting or beating a child. Oh, you no good. Oh, there, drink that. Oh, yeah. That's not discipline. That's abuse. Manipulating a child. Using a child as a servant, constantly ridiculing a child, that is also abuse. not meeting basic needs, food, shelter, education, medical needs, is abuse. Not providing a nurturing environment could be considered abuse. Neglect. Neglecting the child's emotions, not listening. All forms of abuse, leaving a child alone. I've had a number of conversations over the last couple of years with friends and relatives and so forth about leaving their children alone and what age is okay and what age isn't okay. Leaving a child who is 5, 4, 6, 10 years old alone without care or supervision is child neglect. Well, he's a big 10 years old, and he's smart as a whip, and he's okay to be alone. No, he's not okay to be alone. It's neglect. If he can't provide for himself, if he can't take care of his physical needs, if he can't take care of his medical needs, leaving him alone for 8, 10, 15, 24 hours is neglect. Patrolling shopping centers, casinos, parking lots, we often find small children alone in the vehicle, 2 years old, 4 years old, 8 years old. That's neglect. That is an arrestable offense. In the United States, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention defines child abuse as any maltreatment or act or a series of acts or even omissions by a parent or a caregiver that results in the harm, the potential harm, the threat to a child. Child abuse can occur anytime, day or night, in any location, and that's what we have to get in our head. Different jurisdictions, like I said, have developed their own definition of what constitutes child abuse and neglect. According to the Journal of Child Abuse and Neglect, child abuse is any recent act or failure to act on the part of a parent or caretaker which results in death, serious physical or emotional harm, sexual abuse, exploitation, an act of failure to act which represents an imminent risk of serious harm. And neglect is defined under the law nationally is where the responsible adult fails to provide adequately for various basic needs, including physical, including food, clothing, hygiene, emotional, including nurturing and affection, educational, which means they failed to enroll a child in school, or medical. They failed to provide adequate medical attention when a child was sick or injured. And we see this in religious communities. Many religious communities now do not take their children to a hospital, to a doctor, because they feel that God himself will heal, that it is their religious right to abstain from medical treatment and attention. And regardless of your religious views, regardless of your religious upbringing, your religious standards, that is not an outward sign of faith. That is an outward sign of neglect. And it has, in recent years, led to the deaths of numerous children. As private security and public law enforcement, we will respond. We will get the call. We will come upon these situations. And we need to understand, we need to recognize, we need to be able to identify. We need a clear definition of what is and is not abuse or neglect. A number of years ago, every state included a new symptom or a new part of their statute to include shaking a child, known now as the shaking baby syndrome, because shaking a small child can easily do brain damage, diffuse organs, deprive them of oxygen, which could lead to their death. I don't have any young children at this stage. I do have grandchildren, but it's frightening. It's frightening because child abuse is rampant. It's everywhere. Who do you trust? Who don't you trust? Even doing a background check on the nanny, on the babysitter, on the church Sunday school teacher isn't enough these days. It's everywhere. And that's why it's so important to recognize the symptoms, to recognize how a child will act and react, how they will oftentimes, if they are 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, even 14, often change in their behavior. A friend of mine, a number of years ago, had two of their boys sexually molested by someone that they trusted from church. Never in a million years would this man be a sexual predator. Never in a billion trillion years would this man do anything of the sort. They trusted him, and so their children stayed many times at this man's home with his children, interacted with their families, went out on all sorts of events, picnics, trips, everything imaginable, did boating, fishing together, camping, just another good Christian family. But it turned out not to be quite that way. Who do we trust? Who do we believe in? It is getting harder every day. As officers of the law, as private security personnel, we need to recognize when a person, when a child has been abused, molested, assaulted, neglected, we need to understand, react, and respond. If you are working in the school system, there are things that you can do. There are things that will help you to recognize. And on Wednesday, we'll be talking about reacting, responding, getting involved. This is not going away. This is not going to all of a sudden disappear. Society is not going to automatically heal itself. It's only going to get worse because we are right now in a population explosion here in the U.S. For a number of years, the population went down. Now it's gone up. Again, more children, more abuse. Sometimes it's from the stress of life. Sometimes it's unintentional. I didn't mean to throw him down the stairs. I was just trying to swat his behind. I didn't mean to. Is he dead? On Wednesday, we will be talking in part two about identifying, recognizing, reacting, and responding to child abuse, how we can prevent it, how we can recognize it and intervene, how we can help. Even if it's only one person that we help, we will have made a difference in this world. Join us Wednesday at 7:30, Daylight Savings Time, for part two. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to our next segment in the show.
About the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them, and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In a place where there's no hurt or sorrow, there are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living, make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, cannot lie. Love is strong, it only cares for joyful giving. We try, we shall see, and this bliss we cannot feel. There are dreams, stop existing and start living. Then it feels that away.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
All right, thanks for staying with us here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We're right back with you for our final half hour, 30 minutes left in the show. You know, I've done this for 37 years. I've been in the law enforcement, public safety, paramedic, fire department since my teenage years, and it is very emotional and a situation when you're dealing with child abuse that you see firsthand. And, you know, I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to make it through the program. But we are able to make a difference in this world. We are able to help. It doesn't take money. It doesn't take a lot of time. It just takes a heart. It takes somebody taking just a few minutes to make a huge difference. And Wednesday, in part two, we will show you how to do that. Well, we've been talking over the last few weeks about some new legislation that Private Officer International will be introducing across the country. If you have not participated in the talks with us on that, if you have not communicated your feelings or thoughts, you can do so. We're talking about new legislation called the Private Security, Safety, and Protection Act, which will have criteria for security companies and clients to meet to ensure that a security officer is not being stuck out in a bad situation with no defense and no communication. Just a few weeks ago, a security officer in Roanoke, Virginia, was killed. He was working on an extremely violent property. Although he was a prior law enforcement officer, he was working in a large complex alone, and he was shot to death because he was doing his job. And this new legislation, Private Security, Safety, and Protection Act, will ensure that security companies, when they contract with a client, that they meet certain criteria, that they have enough staffing, that they have emergency communication available for the security officer, that they meet the criteria, and hopefully this will cut down on the unnecessary deaths and assaults of private security. If you'd like more information, you can send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com or go to our forums. We've got a lot of conversation there going on about it, and we will be introducing this legislation by the first of the year. We have written the first draft on it, and we hope to get this out very quickly. We have a number of regional seminars going on right now. We are doing a use of force, shoot, don't shoot. It is a skill-based training seminar where you actually participate. If you ever attended any of my classes or seminars, you know you cannot come there to sleep. You cannot come there just as a lazy day off. You're not there to socialize, although we do socialize and we have a great time. But it's serious business, and I put on a use of force seminar that involves participation from everyone. It is a skill-based seminar where you become involved in various situations, and we are putting on a number of those. We've got one coming up this week in South Carolina, and next week we've got one in Alabama and numerous others in Tennessee and throughout the country. If you'd like more information, just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. I want to mention a couple of months ago, I guess it's been now, a number of members and associates brought up the idea of challenge coins, which is pretty common these days among law enforcement and public safety and even private businesses who have designed their own coins to exchange and use as either a token or, you know, as awards or whatever. And we have finalized a design for our own challenge coin, and we're going to be releasing that in the next week or so. And we actually hope to have them available by the third week of September. What's so important about the third week of September, you ask? You must not be listening. You must not be hanging around. The third week of September every year is the Private Security Memorial Week. That is the week that we set aside every year to recognize those private security personnel killed in the line of duty. And we have ceremonies scheduled throughout the country. And like I said, right now we are working on a permanent memorial to be built in Richmond, Virginia. And so we hope to have these coins available by the third week of September. That's about, 7 weeks away? Maybe 6.5? And we hope to get these out there and have them be part of our ceremonies that we do have scheduled. Also want to remind you that Private Officer Security Corporation, a sister company of Private Officer, is now offering franchises. In fact, right now we have two free franchises, no franchise fees involved, for Private Officer Security. If you have ever wanted to be in business for yourself before, you wanted to open your own security guard company, now is the time. We have a great franchise system set up. We will provide you with all of the marketing, all the sales, all the HR, all the legal. It is a turnkey business. And right now we have two free franchises. The only cost to you will be, of course, your business license and your insurance. If you'd like more information, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. This week we want to say happy birthday right quick to a few of our friends and associates and members. Frank Towns in Dallas, Texas. Al Williams, he's in Rockville, Maryland. He's 47. Keith Mundy is 50 in Presque Isle, Maine. Dwight Holder is 36 in Tampa. I love Tampa. He's in Tampa, Florida. Also, Danny V. I don't know what the V stands for. He just goes by Danny V. Danny V, happy birthday to you as well. Also this week, Monty is 44. He's in Kansas City, Missouri. And Linda Steamer in Atlantic Beach. I believe that's in Florida, up in the North Panhandle area. Also want to recognize Jeffrey Holcomb in Hamden, Connecticut. He recently completed the Certified Asset Protection Professional 2, as did Betty Yowlings in San Diego, California, Christopher Lundy in Massachusetts, Becky Sawyer in Charlottesville, Virginia, Samuel Brown in Franklin, Tennessee, Stephen Klein and Debbie Klein both completed the Certified Asset Protection Professional 2, and they are in beautiful, and I don't think it's cold right now, but beautiful, probably cool, Anchorage, Alaska. So happy birthday to everyone, and congratulations. It's getting late. I can't speak, folks. Congratulations to everyone who completed the Certified Asset Protection 2. We really, really salute you, and And we really encourage more of you to take the courses. We have just recently graduated 42 people from the Certified Asset Professional 1. We have a number of students in our Certified Trainer class right now, and we have another class going on right now for the CAPP1 certification. And, hey, it's great training, excellent knowledge. It will help you in your career, and it will help you to stay safe out there. So if you'd like more information, just send an email to the training division at privateofficer.com, training division at privateofficer.com. Trust me, you will definitely enjoy the training. In the news headlines this week, a deputy sheriff in Converse County, Wyoming, died after he was swept away in a swollen river while attempting to rescue a teenage girl who had jumped into the river while fighting with her boyfriend. Deputy Sheriff Brian Gross was found 2 days later in the swollen river. A heavily armed former Florida prison guard killed himself after he killed a neighbor in Panama City, Florida. According to law enforcement, he had a bigger weapon, much more ammunition, and even a better bulletproof vest than they did. According to police, 50-year-old Galen Scott Supps a former prison guard, shot and killed his 19-year-old neighbor, Christopher Ballard, before committing suicide. Also in the news this week, a Maryland detective, several detectives, that actually in Prince George County, Maryland, very heartwarming story, was investigating a rash of burglaries when they came upon a home that was very tattered and worn and broken down, and they found, they thought it was abandoned, actually, but inside they found a 100-year-old woman, Nancy Poor Tufts, and during the communication with her, she said that she had promised to keep the gardens looking nice, promised her mother, before her mother passed away. And detectives helped to refurbish the home and plant the garden, and really a very touching story. In Killeen, Texas, a security officer was patrolling a shopping center when he responded to a disturbance. Two suspects were fighting. They shot the security officer. Police have now arrested Michael Anthony Lee, 21, and Tavares Cortez Graves, 18, they have charged both of them with aggravated assault with a weapon on security. Hey, this is kind of a strange story of sorts. If you were a wrestler fan a number of years ago, you may or may not know who Butterbean is. Butterbean, he was a wrestler for a number of years on the wrestling circuit. Well, he is from Jasper, Alabama, which is just west of Birmingham. And he has signed a contract with a reality show to do a kind of reality show about him being a big law enforcement officer. He actually has been a reserve deputy sheriff with the Walker County, Alabama Sheriff's Office for a number of years. I guess it's sort of like the Steven Seagal Lawman, if you've ever watched that on A&E. I guess it's going to be something like that. Security at the Tampa airport over the weekend was breached when a man with a large knife in his suitcase was able to get away from security. Evidently, they did see the knife in his luggage during the screening, but let him walk off. Police were called. They stopped the wrong person, and they eventually found the right person. In Lexington, Kentucky, a security officer on patrol stumbled upon a man who had been dead for a number of hours. He evidently had crashed his motorcycle and landed into some bushes. A security officer was on patrol when they found the dead man, notified police, and the coroner says that the man was identified as 49 years old, and he died from his injuries from the motorcycle crash. Security officers in Stanton, California, was involved in a drive-by shooting after they ejected a number of persons from a bar. Evidently, a car came back several hours later and fired at the security officers who were standing outside, but no one was injured. In Dothan, Alabama, Dothan police are saying that one of their officers shot a child of theirs during a domestic situation. It was considered to be an act of self-defense. Police are not releasing the officer's name or any other information at this time. University of Hawaii say that they have had an unusual rash of burglaries leading to $12,000 being stolen. Police and University of Hawaii campus security is investigating that. There's always a lot of news. A couple of other quick headlines to share with you. This is an unreal story out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. State troopers there say an 8-year-old boy was caught this weekend driving a pickup truck down the interstate. At first, they thought that the driver was intoxicated, but when they pulled the vehicle over, they found out that it was actually an 8-year-old boy who was driving while his 28-year-old father, Billy Joe Madden of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, was asleep in the passenger side. A 4-year-old daughter was also found in the truck. Unbelievable. A study released out of Georgia this week says that the Georgia law enforcement community conducted 80 80,000 Roblox, 80,000 Roblox in the last 4 years. That is more than 40% more than other law enforcement agencies, other states. 80,000 Roblox in Georgia in the last 4 years. Of course, the federal government does administer some financial aid through the Governor's Highway Safety Association, and they found that Georgia received $24.6 million to help them with their Roblox. Okay, I've done it myself. Yes, I have been involved in Roblox. I mean, you know, both as law enforcement and security, we have put up some Roblox. So, yes, we're guilty. But that's a huge number, 80,000 Roblox in 4 years. My goodness. I want to remind you very quickly about the other shows that we have lined up for you coming up next week. Armed and Dangerous, we'll be talking with private security personnel who have been involved in armed confrontations and even shootings in recent months. The following week, on the 15th, we have a very, very exciting show. We will be talking about self-contained residential properties called HOAs, homeowner associations, which are gated communities. We'll be talking with law enforcement. We actually have several self-contained homeowner associations, gated communities that have their own police force, EMS, and fire departments. We'll also be talking with an all-volunteer security staff from Florida on the other side of the spectrum. And we'll be talking on the 22nd of August with special police officers, those who are commissioned or have statutory arrest authority. It's getting late. I'm getting tired. It's been a long day. I apologize. But we will be talking on the 22nd of August with private security who have special police authority, either statutory or commissioned by the local police, and how it helps them to provide special services for their client. On the 29th of August, we'll be talking with a sexual police investigator on sexual assault and rapes, and we'll be talking about the do's and don'ts for us when we're responding to those type of calls. And on the 5th of September, we will be talking about responding and initiating searches for missing persons. So lots of great stuff coming up. You won't want to miss those shows. Of course, if you do because you are working or otherwise busy, I certainly understand it. That's why we have them available on demand 24/7. You can listen at work, listen in the car, listen on your iPod, because they are available, anytime from our on-demand library. Also want to remind you about our busy week schedule coming up this week, tomorrow night at Tuesday, which is the 2nd of August. At 7 p.m., daylight savings time, of course, you can join us for the Officer Down Response Team, learn about our initiation of these teams across the country, how you can become involved, what is expected, what the criteria for you as an applicant will be, what your duties will be, how it works, and the whole nine yards. If you miss that, we'll have another one. We'll have a couple more, actually. Also tomorrow night, if you are a member of the Private Officer Advisory Board, you will be meeting with us at 8 p.m. Don't forget that. On Wednesday, the 3rd, at 3 p.m., we will be having our Loss Prevention Zone radio program right here on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. That's all about retail security, mall security. If you are a loss prevention agent, a mall security officer, or maybe you just are a retailer, you own a shop, don't miss the show. We have some great stuff coming up Wednesday for you. Also on Wednesday, join us at 7:30 p.m., daylight savings time, for part two of Child Neglect and Abuse, Reacting and Responding. On Thursday, the 4th, you can join us 8 p.m. daylight savings time for our conference call on the officer down response team. So if you missed the one on Tuesday, we will have another one on Thursday. And on Saturday, the 6th, join us for a free use of force seminar in Greensville, South Carolina, right off Interstate 85. If you're in the area, like more information, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We have a lot of stuff going on, lots of stuff, many, many busy weeks in the upcoming months. If you are a new member to Private Officer, or you are just listening because you're in the security or law enforcement field, we really want to encourage you to become more and more involved. We've got so much stuff going on. And if you've missed the beginning of this program, certainly we want you to go back and listen to the on-demand segment, because there's a lot of information that we gave out in the beginning of the show. Well, that's going to wrap it up for tonight for this edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. But we just gave you the lowdown of this week's busy, busy schedule. Be sure to be on the conference calls. Let me give you that number right quick. If you missed it earlier and you anticipate on being on the call either Tuesday or Thursday, this is the phone number, area code 712-432-0800. Again, that number is area code 712-432-0800. It will ask you for a PIN number, and that PIN number is 843-081. And that's both Tuesday and again on Thursday. So if you miss one, well, maybe you'll be available for the other. That concludes our show for today. We do appreciate you being here, and we hope that you will join us again Wednesday for part two of Child Abuse and Neglect, React, Respond. And we will see you back here on the radio Wednesday. Until then, be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you on the call.
About the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. But brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In a place you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living, make a little space. Make a better place. Tell the world. Living, then it's
better place.